y'all both for that sheltered in the arms of God. I'm glad that you're here tonight. I'm excited to preach, excited to be a part of a wonderful time with the Lord, with people whom we love. And let me turn that microphone on. Is that correct? I already turned it on? No, let me turn it on, brother. Now then
it's on. All right, appreciate it. Well, let's look at our Bible tonight, since it's us, and we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture at the onset of the message. We're going to begin, first of all, in the book of Genesis tonight. Genesis chapter, if you'll locate that with me, we'll be looking in Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter 41, two verses of Scripture. And then, when you find chapter 41, just hold your place there and go ahead and find the last chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. We'll read two verses from Genesis 50 as well. You know, unfortunately, and I'll be preaching on that subject sometime as the Lord leads this week, but the last 18 months, especially last year when all the uncertainty, not knowing where we're going to open the church doors, or would I ever preach another revival? I had about 20 cancellations last year. Our phone began to ring off the wall, as the old saying goes, my cell phone, church's counseling, meetings that we had scheduled on account of COVID. And as a result, many churches today are floundering rather than flying, limping rather than leaping, standing still rather than surging forward. And as a result, thank God for social media. I said I'd never get on Facebook, never say never. But preacher after preacher after preacher contacted me and said, Brother Jim, we need to hear from you. I didn't have a clue. My son set me up. I'd go to his church, just he and I, and maybe one of his men. And we live streamed for several weeks. And thank God for that. But unfortunately, as church attendance numbers fade across our nation and online services have become very convenient. By the way, who doesn't love not getting ready in the morning or leaving the home? It's important for us to remember tonight why church attendance for you and your family matters so much. Can I just say tonight before we begin to preach, you can't serve the Lord from a sofa. Amen? You can't have community of faith on your couch. You can't experience the power of a room full of believers worshiping together. You can't experience that in your living room. Because the bottom line is this, Christians aren't consumers, we're contributors. And that's why we must, according to the Word of God, assemble. How many believe we're living in the last day? I'm expecting the Lord to return at any moment of any hour. We're living in Hebrews 10:25 land. Not less God, not less church, not less prayer, not less Bible, but more God, more church, more prayer, more Bible, and so much the more, not so less, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so, I want to encourage you tonight. Thank you for being here. And thank you for allowing me to preach. Genesis chapter number 41. Are y'all ready? two verses, verse 51, 52. Genesis 41, verse 51, 52. The Bible says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." Verse 52. "And the name of the second son," the second called, Joseph called he Ephraim. "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of plenty." No, I must be reading out of one of those funny Bibles. Let me back up a minute. "Caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Anybody had any affliction? "Caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Now then, if you will, the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 25 and 26, the last two verses of the Bible, of the book of Genesis. It says, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel." In other words, the Lord spoke to Joseph. That's what that "took an oath of the children of Israel," saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." God spoke to Joseph, and Joseph spoke to his boys and said, "God's going to surely visit Israel and deliver you, bring you up out of Egyptian slavery. And when God does, ye shall carry up my bones from hence." Verse 26, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Now, can I ask you to go ahead and find 1 John chapter 5? I'll not give you the verse in that chapter. I want it to be fresh when we get there momentarily. But we'll be reading from 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. With your prayers and God's help tonight, I want to preach for a little while from the life of Joseph, one of my favorite Old Testament personalities. The life of Joseph. I believe I'm with Bible students tonight. Every one of you are very familiar with the life story of Joseph. And I want to preach on this subject: faith always wins. Not some of the time, not every now and then, not even most of the time, but faith always wins. For those of you that were here last evening, I said before, beneath and beyond enough that anybody woke up in the middle of the night with that on your mind? I'm going to say tonight, faith always wins, with my intention that God will wake you up sometime in the night and you sit up in your bed and you say, "Faith always wins." You say, "Well, Brother Jim, if you're preaching on Joseph, how do you know that Joseph had faith?" Let me give you this verse. You don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, Hebrews chapter 11, God's Hall of Fame faith chapter, verse number 22, the Bible says, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones." The scripture is verified here, what was said in the last two verses of the book of Genesis. So, Joseph, I believe you would agree with me tonight, pleased God. Amen? Do you agree that he lived a life that pleased God? How did he please God? He pleased God, according to the Bible, by his faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is hard to please God. Now, that's that funny Bible. Without faith, it is difficult to please God. No. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are many Old Testament characters that have what I describe New Testament verses. A verse in the New Testament that epitomizes the life they lived of the Old Testament. They are verses that summarize these Old Testament personalities. And I believe Joseph has a verse in the New Testament. Because when we read this verse, you will have to agree, based upon the life story of Joseph, that this verse epitomizes, summarizes his life. And that verse is in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Now, we're not going to read the first portion of the verse, but I want us to look at the last part of that verse. Somebody say the last part of that verse. Somebody say it out loud. Even our faith, that's the last. Read the phrase before that. And this, go ahead. Does that verse sound familiar in the song that Brother Fred led us? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is the victory? Even our faith. Even our faith. And this is the victory. To me, that is a Joseph verse. And not only is it a Joseph verse, I believe there are two what I call Joseph words in that part of the verse. I've got these words underscored in some of my Bibles. The first one is, and this is the victory. That's a Joseph word. Because as we will see tonight, Joseph was never the victim. He was always the victor. He never allowed his situations in life overcome him. Instead, he turned the tide, and as the next Joseph word is, overcometh. He was an overcomer. So, victory. He was not a victim. He was always a victor. And the word overcometh. He didn't allow his circumstances to overcome him. Instead, he was an overcomer. You say, well, how did he do that? Well, let me just share how he didn't do that. He didn't overcome with his intelligence. He didn't overcome by his ability. He didn't overcome by his intellect. He didn't overcome even by his good looks. And I think as we study his life tonight, in a brief sermon, if you haven't already, you'll agree with me, he must have been a good-looking man. But that's not how he overcame. He overcame by his faith. Because in every situation of his life, faith always wins. And I'm going to share with you three things or three places where faith always wins in the life of Joseph. The first one, if you're writing this down, if not, I hope that you'll remember it. If not, I hope maybe you get the tape later on. But I'm going to give you three places in the life of Joseph where faith always wins. And the same three places in our life, faith always wins. Because there's a phrase, frequent, in the life of Joseph, in the Word of God, that says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. Several times, that phrase. So number one, faith always wins when life turns to disappointment. When life turns to disappointment, somebody ought to agree with me right now in the house of God, life will turn to disappointment from time to time. Amen? Somebody said, well, I've never been disappointed. Anybody ever been married? Surely there's been a disappointment in your marriage. Boy, y'all are quiet tonight. Anybody ever raised teenagers? Disappointment. It's amazing to me how they can go to bed 12 years old, perfectly normal, and wake up the next morning as a 13-year-old teenager, and they are crazy as a football bat. Anybody ever been a pastor of a Baptist church talking about disappointments? Oh, just one pastor. Anybody ever been a member of a Baptist church? Then you've been disappointed. Amen, Brother Dirk? Life is full of disappointments. Family will disappoint you. Friends will disappoint you. Church folks will disappoint you. Professing Christians will disappoint you. I started out, God called me to pastor at the age of 18. Rita and I were not even married. Became pastor in August. We had our wedding date set for October the 27th, and they put me in a little adjacent apartment. They didn't want me to move into the parsonage without my bride. They wanted it to be special that first night, marriage. So I was fine with that. 18 years old, right out of school, got my own pad. First night away from mom and daddy has to be on my own. Well, I developed some philosophies of housekeeping those 2.5 months. One philosophy is never make up a bed if you're going to get right back in it tonight. I've never understood that when Rita gets up and makes up the hotel beds. I'm telling the truth. Number two, never wash a dish as long as you can find a clean one in the kitchen. Worked well. Number three, whenever you come in and take it off, that's where it ought to hang. But now October the 27th, 2.5 months later, she and I became one, went off on a honeymoon, came back, moved into that first night of the parsonage. I'm here to tell you there were some changes that took place in the house. Somebody new done moved into the house. Anybody hearing me tonight? When you get born again, somebody new moves into your house. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. We have forfeited all of our rights. We belong to Him. He is our Lord, our Master. And here's old Joseph. It wasn't by his ingenuity or wisdom or talents that he overcame, but by the power of his faith. The power of faith was unleashed in his soul. You know, the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Here's the problem. So many, including myself, have walked sometimes by sight, not by faith. Let me give you the difference. When you walk by faith, you walk by what God says. That's faith. Faith is not some hocus-pocus, now you see it, now you don't, willy-nilly sort of thing, claim it, believe it, name it, and claim it. That's not faith. Faith is, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when you walk by faith, you're walking by what God has said. When you walk by sight, you're walking by what you see. And when you walk by what you see, and that's the natural response that we have in the carnal flesh, we fight against the principality of the air, the old slewfoot, the devil himself, because it's so tempting to walk by what we see. That got Adam and Eve in trouble. They were walking by what they saw. They took of the fruit that God forbid them from the tree. That's what got Samson in trouble. He was walking by what he saw, not by what God said. That's what got David in trouble, because the Bible said he had not a sword removed from his side because he was walking by what he saw, not by what God said. That's what got Elijah in trouble, sitting out there on the juniper tree, discouraged, because he was walking by what he saw, not by what God said. Man, I wish I was preaching this in a black Pentecostal church. They'd be hanging off the ceiling right now. That's what got Peter in trouble when he started to sink. He was walking by what he saw, not by what Jesus said. When we walk by what we see, that brings discouragement. It brings disbelief. It brings despondency. And it's the easy thing to do. We had to combat against it. We want to see the figures. We want to touch the tangible. We want to have our hand on it. But God says, I've got this. But man, it is a mountain for me. What about you? You may want to throw me out, but I pray you hear me out before you throw me out. We might as well be honest in the house of God before God. I battle walking by faith. I don't fear COVID, but it's been a battle not to fear it. I don't fear it because, God forbid, I've had too many funerals, but they're with Jesus. Amen? We're still walking the walk. I don't fear it, but God knows I hate to see my daughter battle with it as she is. And she's still battling. And she went today, and they think she's had a relapse of it. And this is 5 weeks of the old mess. I don't fear it. But it's hard to question doctors and question treatments and question, because everybody's saying everything everywhere. Nobody has the answer. You say, what are you going to do if you get it, Brother Jeff? I'm probably going to swallow a bunch of horse pills. I may sprout a longer tail than what I got, but I'm probably going to take ivermectin. I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't have a clue. I got a preacher down there and said, Brother Jim, I got a case of it, and I'll rush it over to you. He went to the feed store when he got it, and he believed in it, and squirted him up a bunch of that horse pill and horse medicine, and man, he said the next day he was feeling good. Said, Brother Jim, you and Sister Rita get it? He said, I'm coming to your rescue. God in the horse pill. Praise God, that's a good combination. I don't know. But the Bible teaches that we must walk by what God says, not by what we see. I'm spending too much time on that, and I'll promise you I'll move on. Matter of fact, let me come on down here and just preach where I can get through. So when life turns to disappointment, faith always wins. When we first are introduced to Joseph, he has a nickname. Anybody remember what he's called? Joseph the Dreamer. He's out in the plains, and he has a dream. God's promises, God's predictions, God's prophecies over Joseph. Now, you know Brother Paul Gothard, one of our southern pastors, East Texas. He despises Alabama Crimson Tide. He's a Texan. He bleeds burnt orange, Texas Longhorns. I was so proud the Razorbacks blew him out a few weeks ago. But old Paul just can't stand it. And he called me 3 or 4 months ago and he said, Brother Jim, you wouldn't believe what happened to me last night. I said, what was it, Brother Paul? He said, I had a dream. I said, why are you sharing that with me? Share it with Miss Lisa, your wife. Oh, no, you need to hear this. It was a bad dream. I said, what did you dream? He said, I dreamed I was over my pulpit preaching, and I looked down there in the altar, and there stood Nick Saban, the coach of Alabama Crimson Tide, the old arrogant fella, and he was trying to tell me what to preach. I said, Brother Paul, that wasn't no dream. That was too much pizza and Coca-Cola. I said, that was gas. That was indigestion. That wasn't a dream. But Joseph had a dream. It was a sovereign, supernatural, separated, special, sweet, what we'd say down in the South, a sure enough dream. God said in the dream, I'm going to favor you, Joseph. I'm going to make you highly favored. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to raise you up. You're going to be in charge. You're going to be over. You're going to sit on the throne. Pharaoh is going to give up the throne. And you're going to sit and rule over Egypt. I'd say that's a dream, isn't it? Old Joseph gets up from that dream, talking about when life turns to disappointment. And I can imagine he's making a beeline straight to the palace. God said it. What did you say? God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. God settled it because he said it. And old Joseph, by faith, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. He's marching to that palace, and he no longer gets the sleepy out of his eye from the dream. Y'all say sleepy up here in the north? Y'all don't say sleepy? He no longer gets the sleepy out of his eye. Instead of the palace, he finds himself in a pit. Brothers done took that coat of many colors that his daddy made him. Took an animal and got the blood from the animal and put it all over that coat. Put him in a pit to leave him to die. Took Joseph's coat of many colors back to daddy. And daddy assumed that a wild beast had done got a hold of Joseph. Now that pit's a far cry from the palace. But about the time he finally got out of that pit, man, he's on the way to the palace. But oh no, his brother sells him into slavery. Instead of the palace, he finds himself in Potiphar's house. Instead of the people bowing to him, he's having to bow to Potiphar. He becomes a butler, a servant in Potiphar's house. And about the time he accepts Potiphar for who he is, all of a sudden, then he has to face Potiphar's wife. My Lord. She was off the chain. As John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus, I believe Potiphar's wife was a forerunner of Jezebel. You read the story. Every day she had one intention, and that was to solicit Joseph for herself. To fulfill all of her wicked, hellish, personal desires. She didn't have Joseph's best interest at mind. All she wanted was to have him for herself and take him down. So not only does faith always win when life turns to disappointment, number two, faith always wins when life tries to defile us. So he's in this position where life's tempted to defile him. Life tempts to defile him. And old Jezebel finally one day sets the trap. He wouldn't fall for it all these days, but she's determined she's going to get him. His is hers, and she sets a trap. And he says, no, 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 three times. He says, I can't. For three reasons. I can't, number one, because you don't belong to me. You belong to my master. I can't, number two, because my master's been too good to me. And I can't, number three, because I cannot sin against my God. And when he said that, he ran out the door. And she reached and grabbed his outer raiment. And she cried, rape, rape. And in came Potiphar. And then in came some servants. And Potiphar believed the word of his wife over the word of Joseph. Now you remember back there in the plains? God said, Joseph, you're going to be seated on the throne in the palace. But he's gone from the pit to Potiphar's house,
to deal with Potiphar's wife, and now he's thrown in prison for 2.5 years for something he did not do. But let me tell you, folks, something that I've had to really grasp a hold of. He may have lost his robe that day, but he didn't lose his reputation. He may have lost his dress to her on the way out as she grabbed it, but he didn't lose his dignity. He may have lost his clothing, but he didn't lose his character. Why? Because faith always wins. Because the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now here's old Jezebel's protege, Potiphar's wife. She did everything she could do to take him down, but to no avail, because faith always wins. But let me conclude, number three. When life turns to disappointment, faith always wins. When life tempts to defile us, faith always wins. But here's where I want to camp out and finish. Number three, when life takes a detour, faith always wins. Can I confess something tonight? Y'all won't hold this against me, will you? We're not going to confess one another's sins, because you'd have to be honest too. I'm going to be honest with you. I despise detours. I hate them. And we travel a lot, and there's a lot of detours out there. Man, I don't have the patience. Detours. I came out of a revival a couple of weeks ago, left the church on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. Last night of the revival, Rita tell you wherever I had, I'm driving home. I'm ready to get home to her, ready to get home. Got pulled out on the interstate this side of Memphis, Tennessee. Hadn't been on the road 20 minutes. Crossed the White River, 9:30 that night. I had it figured I'd get home at 3:15 in the morning. Crossed that river, and all of a sudden the traffic came to a still, and I pulled and stopped. And you know how long we sat there without moving? 4 hours. And the wreck was 7 miles or so in front of us. I bet they were backed up plumb across the Mississippi River Bridge for us all. 4 hours. 4 hours. I called Rita and I said, I don't know what time we're moving. The GPS said a delay of 4 hours. I finally got a hotel room at 4:30 that morning there in Hope, Arkansas, 3 hours still away from home. I hate detours. And since we're confessing, can I confess this? I don't like slow drivers. Finally got an amen out of you. That wasn't anything to do with your wife, so you could amen that. I don't like, get in the right lane. The sign says left lane for passing only. That means move over. Amen? Y'all may not have that trouble here. But, oh, Lord, they just passed a law in Arkansas. They're starting to write tickets for those left lane drivers that's blocking all the traffic. Move over. One of my grandkids, Maddie, she's picking with her pawpaw. She said, Pawpaw, I'm going to get you a sign that says, if you don't like how Pawpaw drives, get off the sidewalk. Life's full of detours. Now, you think about it. Here's old Joseph out there in the plains, and he has one of these supernatural sovereign dreams with God. God gives him the promises. God gives him the predictions, the prophecies. How he's going to elevate old Joseph, make Joseph over Egypt. And old Joseph gets up from that dream and he heads to that palace. And all of a sudden he's over here in a pit. He has a detour. And he gets out of that pit, he heads toward that palace, and over here he finds himself at Potiphar's house, another detour. Potiphar's wife, another detour. Then he finds himself over here in prison for something he didn't do. 2.5 years, a detour. But can I say this, if you don't hear anything else tonight,
Your detours in life does not or do not determine your destination. Our detours do not determine our destination. You say, why? Because he finally got to the palace. Because faith always wins. Amen? Now don't get so discouraged when your life... You know, sometimes a detour may take us to the hospital. A detour may take us to the funeral home. A detour may take us to a divorce court. A detour in life may take us to posting bail for an addicted drug child. A detour in life may carry us down here with a disease. But every one of us, God's already given us our destination. And faith will always win. So here's the message. I need some help. Now, after it's all said and done, 22 years have passed in the life of Joseph since he had that dream. Now he's sitting on that throne. Now he's wearing, Pharaoh gave him the crown. Pharaoh gave him the gold chain around his neck. Pharaoh gave him the scepter. Pharaoh gave him the robe. Pharaoh gave him. Now you understand Joseph is not in the land of milk and honey. Joseph's down there on the front porch of hell, Egypt. That's how much God has elevated him, because the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Faith always, amen, always wins. Isn't that good? So he's sitting on that throne. We go back to the first two verses that we read. Brother Glenn, I need your help right now, if you would. And I was going to use Daniel, but he's working tonight. So Brother Fred, you're not quite as good looking as Daniel is, but you're a lot more handsome than Brother Glenn, so I'll use both of y'all's too. Brother Glenn, come on up here and help me. Brother Fred, come on up here and help me right now. So Joseph's sitting on that throne. The two verses that we just read, Genesis 41, those two verses. If you want to recall them verses, go back to the book and read. But here's Joseph. He's sitting on his throne, and he says that he named his firstborn son Manasseh. So you're going to be, what's your name?
Manasseh.
You got that? Manasseh. Then the Bible says, the very next verse, that he named his second son Ephraim. What's your name?
Ephraim.
Okay. What's your name?
Manasseh.
What's your name?
Ephraim.
One more time. What's your name?
Manasseh.
No, it's not. Your name is Forget It. Say that loud where they can hear you. Forget it. Manasseh in the Hebrew means forget it. So every time Joseph looks at that proud firstborn son that he named Forget It, read the scripture there. God is reminding Joseph, there's some things in life you just have to forget. Every time he looks at Manasseh, it's a reminder. Pit? What pit? You mean I went to a pit? Potiphar's house? Who's Potiphar? Potiphar's wife? Prison? But look at me now. Because God's faithful, and faith always wins. So the lesson for every one of us tonight is there's some things in our life that we need to forget, because God's forgiven them and forgotten them. And so many people carrying around the baggage of their past guilts, when God has already forgiven you. And if I understand justification in the scripture, justification means when you get born again, as far as God's concerned, that's when your life begins. Everything past that, God has no more record of it. Your sins, your past, they are gone.
because of Jesus on Calvary, not only did the Lord sign your pardon, but the Lord tore up your document. They're gone. So what's your name?
Forget it.
Forget it. Amen. What's your name?
Ephraim.
No. Your name is Forget It Not.
Forget It Not.
Ephraim means forget it not. Isn't it amazing how God told Joseph to name those two sons? The first one, forget it. And the next one, forget it not. And every time Joseph looked at those two boys, they were reminders, they were blessings, how faithful God is, because Joseph was faithful to God. It says, forget it not. Don't forget how you've been fruitful in the land of your affliction. Amen. It was affliction in that pit. We can't even imagine. It was affliction in Potiphar's house. It was an affliction in that prison. But now he's on the palace throne. Don't you ever forget, God said, how I blessed you, even in the land of your affliction. Forget it not, and forget it. May God bless you tonight. Let's stand together. Thank y'all. Thank you, fellas. Normally I'd use two teenagers, but y'all are the closest thing to it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Faith does what? Always, always wins. Thank you, Lord, as we come to a close. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example. Thank you, Father, for men like Joseph and women of God of the Bible that both encourage us, inspire us, and constantly remind us that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. We can overcome anything because of what God has said if we respond in obedience. By the way, Lord, you tell us in your word, it's not some charismatic term, it's not some hyper-emotional term or answer, but you tell us in your word who the overcomers are. And you tell us explicitly that he that overcomes is the one who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we're overcomers here tonight. And Lord, when we leave here in the days ahead, may we just be reminded faith always wins. Let's stay on that side of the equation. Even when we're disappointed, and even when we're discouraged, even when we're tempted to be defiled, even when life throws us a detour, we're going to stay close to you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.